We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. I'm just not feeling the warm and fuzzy over Paul Ryan. I'm just not feeling it. Ilana, do you get, I mean, for real, we haven't talked about this off air here, so I just want to ask you right here with everybody right at the top of the news here. Have you, do you like what you're seeing with the Speaker of the House? I mean, are you?
I don't like what I'm seeing with the Speaker of the House, and I don't like what I'm seeing as in the Senate either. They are really standing in the way of the president's agenda, and I don't like it at all.
I know that, IQ, you have, you hang around with those guys, don't you? When's the last time you've been out drinking with either of them?
Maybe 1,000 years ago.
What is your take of them, IQ, when you see the Speaker and you see the Senate president? I mean, do you consider them part of the answer, part of the solution, or part of the problem?
They are the problem. They're not part of the problem. They are the problem. So honestly,
we were complaining about the former head of the Senate. I think his role is he Speaker also?
You're talking about Harry Reid?
Yeah, right. And how he sat on so many bills and wouldn't let them be heard?
Right.
Well, Mitch McConnell's doing the same thing.
Exactly, yeah.
And that is the problem,
yeah.
Is that these guys stand in the way of getting something done. And it's wrong. And look, we have this horrible bill that's coming out of Congress and going to the Senate. And it's all got to be done before tomorrow night.
Right. Well,
how is that even possible?
Well, how is that even possible? Because what's possible about it is they're going to have to vote on this bill blindfolded, just like they do everything else. So really, this is how sick the program is. So this omnibus bill, they've got to vote on it really blindfolded. Now, they're spending all this money. We're spending trillions of dollars here on this bill. This is they're calling it a bipartisan as a joke, a $1.3 trillion. An omnibus bill here. They're pushing through here. But here's the leverage here, guys. Here's the leverage. And you got to like this, or maybe not. You see, what's happened is the military over here. Now, you know full well, IQ, the military spending has been decimated over the past 10 years. When you look back at the Bush administration, W, right into Obama, who totally decimated the budget, they have dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped the military budget so much that, you know, these guys, there haven't been proper raises in over a decade. Military equipment is failing. I mean, this is a real problem. And you wonder, is this part of the overarching strategy of the previous president to make us more vulnerable? No, I say that up front, and some of you say, hey, what are you saying, Malcolm? Well, I'm saying the truth. I mean, what is the real purpose here of really lowering the standards of our military? I just want to put that up front here because, you know, if you're a patriot, if you're an American, no matter if you fall on the left side of the aisle, the right side of the aisle, or wherever you fall, you have to still have a strong military. So here's what's happening with this budget, this bill, if this doesn't grab you here. So here's what they're doing. So in order to get the military properly funded, now we're talking here $700 billion to rebuild the military, okay? So $716 billion, really, all right? And so in order to get that, they're using that as leverage, and the Dems are saying, okay, if you want the money for the military, you almost think they come from a different country. You almost have to think that they can't be even part of the same country. You know, because why would they use leverage and use the media, this military spending as leverage to get all these other things they want in there, all this pork, all this overspending, all of this nasty stuff they're loading in the bill that's totally in there that you can't possibly read. You know, so here's what happens. So Congressman Jim Jordan, this again, this is the Freedom Caucus. They're not happy with this at all. He comes out, he says the House is poised to vote on this bipartisan, so they say, omnibus bill, less than 24 hours after the GOP leaders unveiled the massive spending package, okay? So as you said, Ilana, it's actually 2,232 pages, they're saying.
Okay. So it's a mess. Corrected.
Yeah, exactly. It's a mess, exactly. Give or take a few hundred or a thousand or so. Hey, what do you want, huh? You know, something like that.
Listen, is that the kind of bill that you have to pass before you can read it? Yes.
Yeah, right. It's one of those.
Like
that's
Nancy Pelosi got another notch on her, whatever.
Yeah, no, it's through. You're exactly right. You're exactly right, Ilana. It's through the dead of night. It's through the dead of night, and that's what they're seeing, and then they're forced. But here's what they're doing. So IQ, what they've done here, how sad is it? So they're using the military as leverage, because in order to fund the military properly, so the president is being, but here's what I want you to think about here. Many people are saying, well, the president's being handcuffed. Other people say, well, why is the president signing off on this? I mean, this is not what the people voted for. This is not what they wanted. It's not what they asked for. So why would he sign off on this? Well, then they say, well, the president doesn't want the government, you know, being closed on his watch. But then you have to ask yourself, and of course, the president has come right out and asked Mitch McConnell to change the rules in the Senate so that you don't need 60 votes to approve something, guys, right? So in order to do that, in order to pass this stuff through, you'd have to change the nuclear option. You've got to change the way you get this stuff through. So what's happening now is they're using this totally as leverage to get everything. And the president doesn't want they don't want to close the government. They want to reinforce the military and spend for the military properly. So now they're at a point of saying uncle. Well, listen, friends, there's a lot happening here. Let's just get to the couple of things here up front here. A big story you're going to hear a lot about today as well. Trump's lead attorney, you know who he is, John Dowd. Well, he's resigned. He's resigned. This has just happened as well, you're hearing. And so this is with the special counsel Mueller now. So that's something else we need to talk to Ilana and IQ about to see what this is going to mean for the special counsel. Very interesting, and to see how this impacts all of this. There's a lot happening with this whole investigation thing. And then, of course, 60 Minutes has got this whole interview coming out on the weekend with Stormy Daniels. And like Ilana says before we come onto the hot mic here, and she says, who cares what's going on with that? Well, the one common denominator you can get with all of this is that when you look at all these accusations and stuff is that, well, the president certainly had an active sex life, at least at some point of his life here. I'll say that up front. Ilana, IQ, is that criminal? Is that criminal?
Not only not criminal, it's irrelevant. The president of the United States, yeah. And he is doing the things that we require of a president, which is to manage our national policy and our international relations, and I think he's doing a pretty good job of it. So if he had an affair with a hooker or a pole dancer or whatever she was, who cares?
Right.
This was a long time ago. He now seems to be happily married. And honestly, I don't care about his private life. I care about what he is doing for the United States and for the people of America.
Yeah. What do you think on this interview, IQ? With
Ilana is right in a sane world, but we are not in a sane world. Look, if Donald Trump was having an affair and he was in France, they would upload him. Look at the previous president. He was having an affair while he was married. And nobody gave it. But in America, they're holier than anybody else.
See what goes on among the rich and famous. This is commonplace.
Yeah.
The fact that, you see these Hollywood types come out and condemn anybody on the right. And yet they are doing exactly the same thing in their own lives. They come out
Ilana, that's right. That's accurate. But that's the MO that Hollywood always runs by. Listen, we haven't even done introductions yet. I can see we're already going to get crazy here. And but no, it's good. It's good. And I like what IQ just said back, actually, Ilana. You know, we can really understand this.
Yes, and he's right.
Yeah, he's right. He's absolutely right. Yeah. This is all just fodder for all of the people. You know what this all is? This is all distractions. Just distractions, friend. Just look at the shiny object over here. That's all. Yeah.
Do you have, do you wonder how much she got paid to come out of wherever whatever she was doing before in order to try to subvert our president in a different way?
Well, exactly. So this is what we call shiny
dirty trick.
Shiny object syndrome. That's
shiny.
What this is. Shiny object syndrome. What do we call that? SOS? Shiny object syndrome. Right? SOS. There you go. We just call the syndrome what is SOS. They got SOS. Shiny object syndrome. Anyways, a lot to talk about here in the next hour here, friends, as we just get unwind here. So let's get started here and do some formal introductions here on Nozzle today here. And let's start with Ilana Friedman. Ilana, please take 15 seconds and tell folks a bit about yourself, please.
I am a intelligence analyst. I specialize in the Islamic threat to the West, but I am also very deeply involved in how the political impact, the social impact of all of the different factors and the moving parts that affect our freedoms and our lives in the West and in particularly in the United States.
Exactly, yeah. And Ilana, and both Ilana and IQ are columnists on America Out Loud and regular contributors to all of our programs, Viewpoint This Sunday, Nozzle, all of the different things going on here. And you hear what Ilana says. The reason I teamed up Ilana with IQ today is because of their vast experience and background. And one of the things I do want to talk about ahead, friends, in the next segment is going to be a bit about this, the caliphate being so diminished now. And yet you don't hear a lot of the media on this. So I'm very curious to get them to speak about the success that we've seen in fighting some of the terrorism around the globe here. So we'll touch on that on today's show as well here. IQ, please, again, IQ Al Razuli, this is. Please take, we give you 14 seconds, brother. And yeah, please tell folks who you are, please.
Very kind of you. I'm an Arabic speaker, born in Iraq. Yeah. My mission in life is to enlighten humanity about the existential threat posed by Islam and Muslims to every single human being on the planet who's not a Muslim, called kafir or kuffar, which is infidels.
Friends, it does not get any better than this. Ilana Friedman, IQ Al Razuli. More Nozzle in just a minute.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
So Russia comes out and they said this just yesterday. I said it was unacceptable for British Foreign Minister Boris Johnson to compare Russia's hosting of the 2018 Football World Cup with Nazi Germany's hosting of the 1936 Berlin Olympics. And I quote, says, such parallels are unacceptable and are beneath the head of a diplomatic body of a European state. Now, this is the Russian Foreign Ministry has said this now. Okay. So speaking at the UK Parliament, Johnson suggested that, again, Russian President Vladimir Putin, who just won the election, we know that that was like really not a contest, but okay, we're humoring them because they'd like to humor themselves that they have an election. But okay, no problem, right? So that they would like to try to exploit the World Cup much as Nazi leader Adolf Hitler had tried to do with the 1936 games. This is quite the storyline, I got to tell you. It says, I think the comparison with 1936 is certainly right. This is Boris Johnson says this. Now, Adam, I think it's, he goes on to say, I think it's an emetic prospect, frankly, to think of Putin glorifying in this sporting event. You've been following this story, IQ, and what are folks saying in Europe about this exchange with Boris Johnson and Vladimir Putin?
Well, Europeans in general are much more laid back maybe than the Americans. But what this guy said about Putin is not only egregious, it is utterly stupid and insane. Russia is not exterminating people. Hitler did had the Olympics to prove that he is egalitarian. He had one Jewish girl in the hall of the, I think she had a tennis player or something, and one, of course, the American black guy who won the gold medal. That's it. How can he compare Putin with Hitler? There is no comparison. It is egregious, and it is disgusting, and I'm really very upset.
So why is Boris Johnson doing this? Why is he, as we say, pissing on the tulips?
He's a stupid man. What? Uh-huh. You honestly think the leaders in England are intelligent? They're not intelligent. They are criminals. They are allowing Muslims to take over the land. By the way, when Americans like Pamela Geller, right, Robert Spencer wanted to come to England to give a lecture, they stopped them. They wouldn't allow them.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I know. But I thought you were really good friends with Theresa May. What happened?
No, I was never. Well, she was Secretary of State, by the way. Before she became Prime Minister, she was Secretary of State. She allowed imams, listen to this, imams who came to the mosque to give lectures, right, or talks denigrating Christianity, insulting Christianity, insulting freedom, and she allowed them. So, you right. know, I have no right. love for her.
Well, that's been the problem overall with a lot of the movement of Islam throughout Europe. Clearly, I mean, this is why the UK particularly have been in, really had some real problems that we've talked about, IQ. You know, Ilana, let's bring that story just a little bit further, please. We got a lot to cover today. I want to bring it just a little bit further. Now, IQ just says, well, obviously they're not Hitler. Okay, maybe that's an extreme point of view. I get it. But it seems like they do kill people that don't seem to have their agenda. If you look at a lot of these agents and people that get shot on the highways and stuff like that, I mean, I don't. It seems to me if you follow the bouncing ball, they don't hesitate to take somebody out. I don't think it's at the level of a Hitler, but it certainly is at the level of a mob. Am I overstating that to Lana Friedman or not?
No, on the contrary, you're probably understating it. Putin has a long... First of all, remember, he's KGB. Mm-hmm. The agents in the KGB really didn't think much of him. They thought he was sort of a weak actor. But he knows how to play politics, and he got himself right up to the top. And he is very adept at getting rid of his opponents and his critics. Mm-hmm. Right. And mostly he has them killed in various ways. But he certainly has them neutralized.
Neutralized, that's a good word. Neutralized, yeah. That's a good word.
Yeah, so it's either one thing or another.
Right.
One of my colleagues was a KGB officer who defected to the United States. And
oh, wow.
Taught me an awful lot about how they operate and how the FSB, which is the replacement for the KGB, now operates a spy network through the Russian Orthodox churches in the United States.
Now, let me ask the person you just mentioned, one of the KGB and all, did you end up marrying him? Is this your husband now? You don't have to answer that a lot.
No, not even close. But I tend to separate my private life from my work life.
Of course, I'm kidding you. All right, let me bring it back over to hold on. Let me bring it back over to IQ. IQ, comment on what Ilana just said about, you know. Again, we're speaking about, just for a moment, please, I don't want to go too far down this road, but with the Russian government back to being, I said, well, they act sort of sometimes like a mob, not Hitler, but maybe Boris overstepped, and then you heard what she said. Is this far off? Or are we far off? Or are you in agreement with any of this, or no?
We have to agree to disagree. Putin is eliminating his enemies, just like the Americans used to do and still
right.
do. And the Israelis have not stopped doing it.
Yeah, but wait a minute. But we don't shoot them on the side of a road unless it's Bill or Hillary Clinton.
Thank you. I wish
you all right, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, Your Honor. we make
that.
The exception there, IQ. Hey, I just call it as I see it. That's all. I'm not trying to be a wise ass here. I'm just telling you, you know, IQ.
This is why we are successful. We tell it the way it is.
Amen. That's what we call the out loud truth, right? I love what you just said. It's why we're successful. Ilana, you can't top what he says. Now, let me keep going with this story.
I don't want to try.
So, Ilana, so you had the double agent spy there, Skirpal there, that was poisoned with the nerve gas and all of that from... Now, I think you, real quickly, because I think we're going to disagree here a little bit, but I'm curious. There's some dispute now. Putin is still saying he didn't do it. He's saying, and it's kind of funny because if you follow the story, the talking points changed a lot. Now, I'm going to say to you, about a week and a half ago, Putin was basically, hey, you know what? We didn't do it. And if you don't like it, when, like Theresa May said, she was going to send the 23 Russian diplomats out. Putin said, well, up yours. And then he sent 23 back out. It's the tit-for-tat kind of game that went back and forth. And then you had some other very egregious things that Putin sort of was threatening with because he was upset. Then you had sort of this Cold War thing kind of come in front and center again. And then I seen some very conciliatory language, guys, in the past couple of days here that I was reading from Europe. And I don't know if you've seen any of this, IQ, but I seen some very conciliatory language coming from Putin, actually, quite frankly, where he was trying to give I don't want to use the wrong words here, but in my words, IQ, he was sort of given a little bit of a mea culpa. And he said, I want to work with you guys. And he's kind of was, now, what was that all about?
Because Trump called him and congratulated him. Did anybody else congratulate him? No. Why did they congratulate him? He's the leader of one of the most powerful nations on earth. Look, as I said before, I never ever supported the Soviet Union.
Right.
But Putin created Russia. It was dismantled. There was nothing left of it. Mm-hmm. There was no flesh on the bone. He created it. Now you have Russia, not the Soviet Union. They invaded the Ukraine. They didn't invade the Ukraine. They took part of the Ukraine, which was majority Russians. Crimea was always Russians. You had the Crimean War. It was nothing to do with America. It was nothing to do with France, to do with Russia and Britain at the time. So it was always Russian. And this red herring that he is occupying other people's land, bull crap. The Chinese occupied Tibet, and until today, nobody condemned
them. Yeah. Well, interesting you put it that way. You know, Ilana, I'm going to say something to you here, and this may not sound nice, but I hear what IQ is saying right now. I hear his reference to China. I hear his reference to the point that, listen, he's a realist to say you got to work with Russia. And many people understand that. Conservatives understand what that means. You understand what that means. I get that. And having said all of that, and then there's this feeling around the world often that America thinks it's better than everybody else. But you know, Ilana, let me just say, as we take this righteous mode of, you know, there's an argument IQ could argue all day long about Crimea and the Ukraine, and it's a complicated story. But you know, we are not exactly nursery rhyme here, Humpty Dumpty, Ilana. I mean, America has its own issues. We've done our own problems of, grabbing lands and occupation. I'm not trying to be a smartass here, but you know, there are people who throw this in my face on a regular basis on our platform. And some of them are Native Americans. Others are, you know, other parts of the country that have, less than spectacular in our past. Now, listen, I'm a patriot. I get it. But is that a fear? Is that a fear analysis, or is this way off here?
Well, let's get back to Russia for a second, because that's sort of what we're talking about. We have to talk to Russia. We have to be. You don't ever want those lines of communication to break, because there is too much risk involved.
You obviously don't work for NBC, CBS, ABC.
Well, you
you obviously don't work for any of them, Ilana Friedman. What the hell's the matter with you?
However, having said that, we also have to, the art of war, we have to know who our enemy is.
Amen.
And in this attack on Sergei Skripal, the former Skripal, the former spy and his daughter.
Double agent spy, yeah.
In the UK, they analyzed the signature of the poison, and it comes from Russia.
Right.
This was an action by the GRU, and
right.
We can't. You have to take that into account so that when you talk to them, you understand that these guys are not our friends.
Right. Two points now. IQ, say what do you say about that with the examination of that being Russian? Do you discount that, or do you agree with that?
No. But wait a minute. We are dealing with evidence until today. There is no concrete evidence that the Russians did it. Not a single concrete evidence. All they tell you, high probability. Yes, this high probability, this high, but no concrete evidence. Why did they use bloody this element? Why did they just shoot them with a silencer in microseconds? Why? Why would anybody?
I don't know.
Let me just qualify what I said then, because what I just said was based on intelligence. And every gas like this has a signature. And the signature will tell you where the gas comes from in one way or another, particularly if you have a database of this sort of thing. And my intelligence, the intelligence that I received was that the signature on this gas that they have tested indicates that it came from a Russian source, and that
right.
it was most likely carried out very, very stupidly and unprofessionally by the GRU.
Right.
So
right.
I'm just reporting information which in fact does give some proof. It hasn't been made public. You know, you won't see it in the press. But anything that I will say on the air has been vetted and released for
when publication. The president came out and called his counterpart in Russia, which Barack Obama did, which other presidents have done, which other leaders have done. What I think you're saying, IQ, as well, and I agree, he should have called him, as he did call him. The word congratulation was used in a few different tenses, and I think it's taken out of context. But then, like John McCain, who is totally out of his mind at this point, and should not be governing at all, and he should not be sending tweets out either. The man is ill, and I'm trying to be respectful when I say that. You understand? I'm not trying to be a wise guy here. Of course, I don't like his politics, but I'm not going to insult the man. You both understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's sending these messages out, and he's given the president hell, and which we've covered on this show, and talked about things he shouldn't call. You've got to engage Russia. Back to what you just said a moment ago, Ilana. Sun Tzu, The Art of War. Well, if you read Sun Tzu, or you have any idea what Sun Tzu doesn't say, run for your enemies, run from them, ignore them, never talk about them, never talk to them, ignore them. That's not in Sun Tzu. That's not in there, love.
Know your enemy and be prepared to fight them in ways in which you will win and they will lose.
That's it. He says invite them for dinner.
I think the president did exactly the right thing in calling Putin.
Hello? Invite him for dinner. Get a steak dinner. Invite him for dinner, I'm telling you. Keep the enemies close by.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I have no issue with that. There are things we can do with this man. There are things we can do with this country. All right, guys, talk to me about the China, the tariffs here, that Trump is now talking about these tariffs to China. This is a pretty big story here now. What do you think about this with these new trade penalties here?
I'll give you an answer to that. I think Trump is doing exactly the right thing. There's something that not too many people know, but the man who is our ambassador to China was formerly the governor of Iowa, and he is over there. He's a longtime friend of Xi, and the team that this tag team that now exists between President Trump and former Governor Branstad is an outstanding way to approach this, because it's good cop, bad cop, for all intents and purposes. And I think when you're dealing in areas like this, I think Trump has it exactly right. He is a master negotiator that we know, but I think in this case what he's doing is pure genius.
Yeah. All right, so what he's doing here? Let me tell folks, he's imposing about $60 billion, with a B now, worth of these annual tariffs against Chinese imports. Now, this is a lot of the stuff that you all buy at the five and dime stores and other places. But of course, there's a lot of technology there, too. But, you know, a lot of things are made in China these days, let's face it. I mean, you can't really go to the Walmart without buying China. You know that, Ilana. I mean, it's everywhere. So you're going to buy China.
There's one more thing, though. He has asked for a relief from $100 billion worth of debt, essentially, to China. And that is because China has been stealing our technology and stealing us blind. taking our technology, stealing it from the companies who go there to do business, stealing it from products that they come over here and buy, or they send students over here. I saw one MIT student who was studying thin cell technology, and he took all that at MIT, and he took all that stuff, all the information, all the technology that he had learned, and brought it back to China, and we let him.
Yeah, well, let me say also that in the New York Times and CNBC and all these, they're saying the order is aimed at punishing Beijing for stealing American technology and pressuring U.S. companies to hand it over. There are other pieces to this story than just, you know, I mean, this is also being handed over as a punishment. I want to ask you, IQ, what do you have a thought on this with the tariffs to China? Is this a brilliant move, as Ilana says, by President Trump, or do you think this is playing in the wrong sea here?
No, he's doing the right thing. Look, he came to power saying exactly that before he was elected. He said, China is robbing us, for God's sake.
He said it a lot of times.
He didn't miss his words before he was elected. Why should he change his mind?
Yeah, but politicians are not supposed to do what they say they're going to do.
But he's not a politician with
IQ.
All respect, damn it.
Yeah, but that breaks the rules. Americans are not used to that, IQ. Well, that's why people don't like Trump.
He's used to it. To hell with.
Yeah, but he's got to go back to being a politician, IQ. This man, he's not being right. He's doing what he said he was going to do. That just doesn't fit the narrative, bud. Come on.
I'll tell you what, let the Americans vote Hillary Clinton and see what will happen to them.
Oh God, I'm moving out if that happens, brother. I know they all say that. You know, when they say you have an election,
yeah,
I'm moving
right
out of the country. Of course, they never move. You know. But it's always a theory, right? So, you know, a lot of people are saying they're incensed by the fact that these trade wars are going to do a lot of harm. They're obviously going to hurt some people here, but you're saying it's going to be necessary to do that, Ilana. You're saying that, right? I mean, it's...
No, well, what I'm saying is that, getting back to the art of war again, you have to operate from a position of strength. And if you don't do that, you're going to lose. It's quite simple.
Right.
Because it's only from a position of strength that people will take you seriously.
Yeah,
and that's
true.
Particularly true in China. It's particularly true in the Middle East. And look what he's done in the Middle East. He has totally in your face to the Arabs, the so-called Palestinians, and said, we're moving our embassy to Jerusalem. You know, go.
Yeah.
You know.
Listen, I want to talk with both of you about the success. It dawned on me as I was talking to Dr. James Mitchell yesterday. We were talking about the big picture of terrorism. And it's dawned on me in the last few days as this domestic terror incident happened in Austin, Texas. And by the way, this is one where they got the guys quick. It didn't go on for 19 years like the Unabomber. It went 18 years, rather. It went on for 19 days.
Yeah.
And so that was a success, the way law enforcement worked in unison with federal, state, local levels, all worked. And they were able to circle the wagons. And we had that show. It was a pretty interesting conversation we had yesterday on that. But, you know, I asked Mitchell as well, with a lot of the terrorism, as a terrorism expert himself and what he follows around the globe, and what he thought of the success that we were having against the caliphate and how we were having against ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all these groups that we talk about all the time. You know, it dawned on me on the last few days that there hasn't been much media exposure. Now, if you look at the ground that was lost over the last 10 years, and certainly through George W., but more so through the Obama administration, and I always say George W. because I look at the end of George W. in his second administration. The way I look at it, Ilana and IQ, the second part of George W.'s administration was the beginning of Obama's administration. In other words, before Obama ever got into office, George W. was already doing some stupid shit. You understand?
Right.
And so I consider that like the first part of Obama was George W. And I know a lot of you don't really see that, but I definitely see that. If you look at the spending, you look at where we were at as a country, what had happened. But and if you see the way we took our eyes off the ball and the way terrorism blew up around the world in that last 10 years was significant. Now all of a sudden it dawned on me, by golly, you're not hearing the media say much. Of course, we haven't, knock on wood, and I'm not trying to speak here too soon, as I said yesterday, but we seems like we're having a run of success here. But yet I don't hear anybody giving the president any success at all. I don't hear anybody saying anything. I want to ask IQ what he thinks about that. I know he's got a real upfront, honest opinion. More Nozzle in just a minute. Our goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Why nobody is talking about the success, to what level we are having success with terrorism around the globe. Has Trump been doing some positive things here?
Because Trump is doing it, not because Obama is doing it. Obama was a catastrophe. By the way, one thing you've got to remember, there is no such thing as the caliphate. There is no such thing as ISIS, as an organization with tentacles. Get it through the American thick head. Every single Muslim on planet Earth is part and parcel of ISIS. They are not radicalized. You cannot radicalize a Muslim. How can you radicalize them when their scripture itself is radical? I want to know. How is that possible?
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah, we're talking in the technical terms of a caliphate and ISIS, but I get it. What you're doing is bringing it down. You hear IQ speaking, guys, and he's saying, you know, you got to bring it down to the lowest possible denominator. And that's what he does brilliantly in his messages that he is... really studies this. Ilana, pick up where IQ just was a moment ago here. You see what he's saying here, yeah?
Yeah, I see what he's saying. I think the expression of Islam is different for different people, different groups. I mean, you have Sunnis and Shia. The general understanding of the difference between them is that they will fight each other to the death. But the truth is they work together more frequently than they don't. Because when they have common interests, they will easily work together. ISIS is a particularly vicious expression of Islam, and they took it far past the ideology. But they certainly, everything they did was consistent with the most radical form of Islam. But if you follow the Quran and you follow the commentaries and the surahs and the different aspects, expressions of Islamic tradition, you can't help but be radical, because this is what the Quran teaches.
That's what IQ is saying right there.
Yeah.
So let's just bring that to a head. But you know, your earlier point to say that they were more radical, I'm not sure I agree with that. And I also will say that, listen, when you line up, you know, dozens of men on a beach somewhere and you chop all of their heads off, I don't know how much more you can get than that. I mean, to say that
you can actually. And,
can you?
And
I guess you can,
that,
right?
But
well, the whole city.
When you kidnap the women and rape little children and
right.
use them for
well, that's
sex
what they're doing, right? It's what they're doing.
That's what that
what
that was
doing.
Part of their their culture that they brought into every place that they went to. They kidnapped the women, they killed the men, and they sold the women into sex slavery. And there are still women in sex slavery that they captured years ago.
Yeah.
And the murder of infidels, throwing gays off roofs, public executions of small children because they miss prayers. I mean, all kinds of things. It's beyond the pale. It's beyond anything that I think, you know, is acceptable in a civilized society.
All right. This other news this afternoon I want to talk to you both about, with the lead attorney with Donald Trump, with the special counsel John Dowd resigning. This is a pretty big story. It's a pretty new story, in fact. It seems like Mueller is... getting closer and closer to the president. Just about a week ago, they asked for records from the Trump Organization. Of course, Trump sent a couple of tweets out there that sent everybody in a fury of fire, and they went crazy over the fact of him putting anything out there about special counsel. The attorney has asked him to, you know, kind of lay low. Obviously, he's not following the attorney's advice. Go figure. It's the president. It's Donald Trump. How do you think this impacts the special counsel? Robert Mueller here, speaking again of the resignation of John Dowd, the lead attorney here. IQ, is this a bad sign, or do you think it matters in the scope of the special counsel?
I tell you the truth, I can't figure out anything that's happening. Because if after a year and a half of digging, spending maybe $100 million, at least $100 right. million dollars
right.
in taxpayers' money, and they haven't found anything whatsoever which is incriminating, I have no idea who is doing what in America today, honestly.
When it comes well, that's why, IQ, that the president has put these tweets out, because he has the sentiments of what you just said. And, of course, he knows he's not guilty. He knows he believes he didn't do anything. And if you're that person out there and you know you didn't do the crime, Ilana, then you know that you didn't do the crime. And then you're what I'm saying is it's insult on injury. And then you're doubly insulted. And then you're going to have Ilana, I got to tell you, honestly, if this was happening to me, I can't tell you I would be doing it any differently, except I would probably be just about as crazy and vicious on the Twitter feed as he is, probably even more so. I'd be livid, Ilana.
Yeah, well, I think this is Donald Trump. It's his signature. The reason that Dowd left, apparently, was because they didn't agree, but Dad was very insistent that he not testify, and Trump is ready to testify. But Dad did not leave with bad feeling. He said he loves Trump and wishes him the very best success.
Yeah.
But he just couldn't stand by as his counsel and allow him to testify. So
yeah, Ilana, I wondered if that, you know something, when you just say what you say, I wondered how much of that would be a ploy. I kind of thought the president with his attorney were throwing that out there as a ploy. I never really thought the president really wanted to sit down with the special counsel. Do you really think he wants to, or do you think it was just for the
I just think he's reached a point where he's just frustrated and impatient, and he wants it done. And because he's Donald Trump, he thinks he's better than anybody else.
The problem with that is it could be done, but done the wrong way if you sit down with these vultures.
It's very clear that Mueller and his team are vultures. They're all, even though Mueller himself is a registered Republican, his whole entire team are Democrat loyalists and very much opposed to the president. And they will do anything to see what they can find to incriminate
him. You bring up a very valid point there. He's listed IQ as a registered Republican, which is mind-blowing. He hires all Democrats and some pretty vicious people in there who hate the president. These aren't just casual, moderate people in his camp of expensive attorneys and the harem he's put together there to go after the president, evidently, or to see this collusion thing or whatever they're after. And yet, you say all of that and you look at it and you just, like you said, there's no evidence there. So why hasn't Rosenstein, why hasn't he stopped this thing? Why hasn't he? So, well, because he's another one that you're going to question.
That's right. That's
so
right.
And then why? He's always been questionable, deputy attorney general. But then you got Sessions who recluses himself. You got this guy. You got, it's a mess. I mean, you could not have made this story up. You could not have you could not have done it, Ilana. If you came to me with a book that had all this in there and said, "Malcolm, I want to get this to the publisher," I would have driven you to the psycho ward and submitted you to the psycho fantasy land.
What I don't understand is why the president hasn't fired him. Or why Sessions hasn't fired him.
Why? Because the media and the Democrats would cut their arms off. That's what would happen. And then you would celebrate that, and IQ would throw a party.
I would.
I would.
Yeah, he'd throw a party. IQ would throw a party. He'd have a party up there.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. I'll come to America, and you and I will have a fantastic party.
I know you would. I know you enough. I know you would. You absolutely would. You'd be over here. You'd be throwing. At some point, see, this is what I'm saying. At some point, you got to call a duck a duck, And at some point, you got to step into this thing and do it, which is really, it brings me back to the whole budget process. Ilana, IQ, as you say often, the Americans nominate all these politicians, which IQ says, why do they get such bad politicians? Yeah, it's a good question, man. It's a question for you all out there. Why are Americans electing such crazy people to high office, I mean, it is something to ask yourself. And then all this dysfunction in Washington and throughout us, throughout the land, and we all got to live with what they're doing. But then you wonder, they say uncle immediately. So now you've got the Republicans, and of course we know that IQ and Ilana are not real affectionate and fond of Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. And
definitely
most
not.
Of you out there, well that's it, Ilana. And listen, I'm going to tell you right now, most of our listeners and most of the people listening right now are not fond of them either. I mean, quite frankly, conservatives are so fed up with them, it isn't funny. So listen to this. I want to come back to this other lead story we talked about. So the Freedom Caucus chairman, Mark Meadows, okay, who is pretty close to Trump, in fact, okay, they communicate a great deal. So he predicts that the wins for conservatives, he says, will be few and far between. It is troubling when we get a tunnel and we don't get a wall. So they put all this money in there from a tunnel from New Jersey to New York again, another damn tunnel.
They already have three of them. What do they want another one for?
And those tunnels are a problem anyways. I'm worried about those tunnels, Ilana. I'm worried about the mechanics of them, and I'm also worried about terror. I don't know that we need another
absolutely.
Damn tunnel.
It's a very serious vulnerability that New York City has.
Hey, there you go. So I'm just putting it out there. You agree with that. I don't want to spend any money on a tunnel, quite frankly. So then Meadows comes out and says, in all caps here, we fund sanctuary cities and Planned Parenthood in your budget. So listen to what he's saying now. Everybody hearing this now? So we're funding sanctuary cities, what the Republicans hate. We're funding Planned Parenthood, what the Republicans hate, what the American people voted them into office to do something about, Ilana and IQ. But yet they're kowtowing to the system. So what I am saying is the system is so vicious. Yeah, IQ, what?
Shut the government.
It
don't
is.
Sign it. Shut the government.
That's exactly what I'm trying to bring. There's the head. There's the head of the pin right there, IQ. That's what I'm trying to say to you, buddy. At some point, when I said you got to call a duck, IQ, sometimes you got to get to the point of shutting the damn circus down. Sometimes, you know, IQ, sometimes you got to shut the lights off and you got to leave the circus, knowing that the circus might open up another day, but shut the lights off and leave the circus. Because I got to tell you what, when it comes to clowns and acrobats and animals, there's always going to be another day for the circus, guys.
You take a look at what is in this bill. Uh-huh. It's coming out. It's enough to make you physically ill.
It really, that's my point. That's my point right there, Ilana. So listen, I want everybody to hear what we're talking about here. That's all. There are some other things I need to talk to you about, including this story here. This guy, I don't know what you want to call him. Well, you know what I call him? Because I want to be a gentleman, Ilana IQ on radio. Now, you know, I really work hard at being a gentleman. It takes me a lot of effort to do this, guys, okay? So what I affectionately call these kinds of people on radio is POS. You understand what POS is, right?
Yep.
Yes.
This is the school teacher. This is the El Rancho High School.
Oh, yeah. They fired him.
Oh, yeah. They fired him. What do you think of that story, IQ? This is the guy who came out. Well, let me just tell folks, and then you comment. He says here, this is the guy who says, listen to this now. Salcito, I think that's how you pronounce it. Gregory Salcito. I call him Gregory POS. So I quote, this is what he puts out there. He says, think about the people who you know who are over there. Your freaking stupid Uncle Louie or whatever. They're dumb shits. This is Salcido now. He can be heard saying this in his tirade just back on January 25th, okay? He says, they're not like high-level thinkers. He's speaking about our men and women who fight in the military, friends. He says, they're not academic people. They're not intellectual people. They're the lowest of the low. So this guy is in the academia, again, teaching our kids in the new generation how to hate the military and who to love and what to say and what to do. And finally, the city council came out and fired him. And you say what, IQ?
Perfect. And he's not enough, by the way. It's not enough. He should be put on trial for treason. I'm not exaggerating. I'll tell you why. These people, these so-called academicians, the ones who denigrate the military, they denigrate the Republicans, they are the lowest of the low. Literally, I haven't had a single one of those so-called liberal professors in MIT, in Berkeley, except for Alan Dershowitz, who is usually a leftist and liberal, is coming out to tell the truth. All of them are liars. All of them are criminals. Why criminals?
Yeah, I, I think Dershowitz is a closet Republican. You know that, bro?
I think so, too.
I mean, you can't. He's amazing. The stuff he comes out with, you can't pay for that stuff, really. And, of course, you and I, we all know it's true, but they normally don't say that. Well, I got to tell you, the chief of staff, John Kelly, when this all happened with Salcido here, okay, he says, the chief of staff comes out. He says, I don't think it's all a revelation to anybody that those who aren't, well, that's what the guy said. Now, let me read you John Kelly. John Kelly comes out and says here, I just hope he enjoys the liberties and the lifestyle that we have fought for. He ought to go to hell.
That's very mild of him.
Exactly.
He is just the tip of the iceberg, though, because this kind of thing is going on in what we call state schools, which are otherwise called public schools, all over the country. Our kids are being indoctrinated. By a generation of people who were brought up to feel entitled. And now that is coming back to haunt us, because they are now teaching our children that not only are they entitled, but they are that what they really want is a socialist environment. They want a socialist country, and they want everything to be given to them, including safe spaces and everybody.
But it's what they're teaching.
It goes on and on and on, and people are losing. Parents are losing their rights.
We're losing control.
Pardon?
We're losing control.
We are totally losing control of the education of our children, and this is frightening, because our children, 30 years from now, are going to be running the country.
Right.
By the way, again and again, we come to the same conclusion. I come exactly to the same conclusion. It's not the fault of the politicians. It's not the fault of the teachers. It's the fault of the parents who did not care enough about their children to overthrow such people.
This is absolutely correct, but even when they do care, I'll give you an example of a father of a five-year-old in Massachusetts, whose child was being exposed to same-sex books about Johnny has two parents or whatever it was. And he was outraged that his child should be exposed to this because it was against his religion. He was banned from the school, and he was not even allowed to attend parent-teachers conferences because he was interfering with what they perceived was the important education of his five-year-old.
Ilana, there are other parents in there. There are all parents in there. If they all decide to do the same thing, who is going to stop them? Mm-hmm. Who is
nobody, but they have to be together, and they have to all feel the same way. But some of them are products of this upbringing of entitlement.
Until we
change this and change the universities, because again, you can go out to any of these universities and talk to the kids and you see what's happening here. And this plays right into it, where this teacher, Salcido, is out there saying these kinds of things about the United States military. Men and women who have fought and died so that this man would have freedom. And then IQ says, well, it's treason, Malcolm. And really, some people would agree with that. I think it's up for you to think back home what you think about it. But I got to tell you what, it really does give you pause here when you see someone like this, Salcido, and when it's these kinds of comments about our military and about other people. You just have to shake your head. You know, I got to tell you also, as we move from that story here, one thing we got to do, I got to tell you as well, we were talking about the tariffs earlier in the show, and I just want you to be aware of that. The tariffs, and I know everybody says, well, the president's got to do what he's got to do. Yeah, the president ran on this. And a lot of this stuff is, they're big decisions where you got to put your big boy pants on and you got to tighten your belt, because the market today did not like what happened. I mean, it dropped more than 700 points, and the S&P dropped more than 500. And the NASDAQ is down, everything's down. And
it's
this is
down
basically
724 points.
Yeah. And this is tied to the Trump tariffs actions. Basically, it's all because of tariffs. So basically, what's going to happen is, how do I say to you both, you know what? Progress can hurt. You know that. Progress can cause pain. You know that?
Of course.
You agree with that statement? Yeah. All right. So I just want everybody to understand, I don't have the answer what's going to happen with the tariff thing and what happens with China. I suspect China's going to retaliate now. I think Xi Jinping is not going to put up with that either. I think he's one that can play the game of uncle really well. You know that?
Yeah, but remember that if he is truly has a a functional and positive relationship with our ambassador, there is a possibility that they can, between them, work something out, and then
you
can approach Trump
you
from
hope.
A different position.
Okay.
I don't think
with
this
nozzle,
will break it.
We need to, we obviously need 2 or 3 hours for this show. An hour is not covering what Nozzle, for real, what Nozzle has, an hour a day is not going to do it. At some point, I'm looking at expanding this conversation because there's just too much going on. There's too much to talk about. There's too much news in a given day, and it takes more than an hour to cover it, especially when you have this kind of brilliance on the show here. What I like about Nozzle, what I like about the conversations we're having is we're getting different points of view and different conversations here. So that's what I like about having people like IQ, Al Razzouli on, and Ilana Friedman, and so many others on the platform here. So anyways, Nozzle again, friends, listen. The show is growing by leaps and bounds, but 6 p.m. every day. It's the 6 o'clock news, basically. It's our version of the 6 o'clock news, yeah? It plays again at 10 p.m. every day. So you get an America Out Loud Talk Radio. Get the app on Android or Apple if you want, or go to iHeartRadio, or go to AHA Radio. There's a whole bunch of them. Networks we're on, just America Out Loud Talk Radio. But I hope you'll consider becoming part of our family of app holders. It is growing crazy now. So again, then we stream. You can get it anytime you want. The program is right there. After it goes to podcast every day after 7, you can get it on demand on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com. But again, the first sign of this is going to be 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every day, Monday through Friday. Weekdays, of course, you know, is where you hear this here. Listen, let's take just the last couple of minutes. I want to get into predictions here. And I'm going to ask Ilana, you to go first, please. Please take 30 seconds. Give us your predictions.
Well, my prediction is... this negotiation with China, or this confrontation with China, is actually going to resolve itself. I don't think we're going to get into a battle of commerce as we will with some sort of an accommodation. And I think what's going to happen is that our president has put a line down. And our ambassador is going to try to interpret that for Xi, and then he is going to be able to come to some sort of middle ground where everybody will be happy. And what the president has made very clear is that he's looking for a reciprocal tariff. And I think that in the end, that's what we're going to get.
Well, let's hope that's the case. IQ, please, what's your predictions?
Well, the news about 100 French intellectuals who have declared publicly in Le Figaro, which is a newspaper, very important newspaper in France, against Islam. This is the first time in 30 years that any group of intellectuals in the whole of the continent of Europe who have come up and said Islam is not part of Europe. I think this is the beginning of a huge move, a tsunami in Europe.
Wow, wow.
Oh, I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
IQ, do me a big favor on that. Can you get a column over to us so we can get that and people can read this also on America Out Loud on what you just talked about, please? What's the importance of that?
That
would be ideal. That's big news to us. I'd like to get that up there. I also want to cover that again on another program with you. That's a big story that we need to follow up here.
No.
Again, my first prediction, I didn't have time to tell you, but the first prediction is that the legacy of Bozo the Clown will live on. He died today, 89 years old. A long time Boston television personality and entertainer, Frank Abruch. He was the star of, Bozo the Clown. 89 years old, and he died today. So, what a long, beautiful life he had, but he brought a lot of smiles to kids worldwide, actually, here. Friends, the other prediction is we will be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nozzle off.